Hey, everyone. Before we start the show, I want to tell you about another podcast from GoDaddy called School of Hustle, hosted by tour company owner, producer, and YouTube creator, Sarah Funk. On each episode, Sarah talks with everyday entrepreneurs and showcases the hustle behind their business. Listen to School of Hustle on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to listen.
Kind of journey I've been on in my evolution as a chef has really brought me to this point. And I feel like I still have a lot more growth to do, but ultimately all of these different things that I do, being a chef, being a teacher, being an entrepreneur, to me, that work is all healing work. And that's where the Healthy Roots Institute really comes in to, in my way, heal the world.
You're listening to Made Here, a podcast about what it means to be an underserved entrepreneur in America and what it takes to turn a small business idea into reality. I'm your host, Stacey Klein. Believe we've reached the final episode of Made Here Season 1. It's been a great honor to meet and share the stories of resilient, trailblazing, and just downright hardworking entrepreneurs and small business owners. Guests who've joined our show continue to make an impact from the ground up, much like the person you'll be hearing from today, Lachelle Cunningham. Lachelle is an amazing force in the Twin Cities food scene. In spite of the accolades and recognition she's obtained in her career, one might say that Lachelle's journey as a chef is a little unconventional, especially compared to her peers. In this episode, she talks about becoming a mom in her early 20s and how her sense of smell changed her relationship with food. Lachelle shares her transition from a home chef catering small dinner parties to an entrepreneur who had a larger vision of creating positive change through food. Finally, we'll also learn about her work at the Healthy Roots Institute, whose mission focuses on healing and social justice through food education, culinary arts, and entrepreneurship. Hi, Lachelle. Thank you so much for being here. I'm really looking forward to chatting with you and diving into your story.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Appreciate the invitation.
So could you just tell me a little bit about your early life? Where did you grow up?
I grew up right here where I'm living in the Twin Cities. My mom lived in St. Paul and my dad in Minneapolis. So I literally grew up going across the bridge pretty often from St. Paul to Minneapolis and went to high school and elementary school and all those good things right here in the Twin Cities. And now I live in North Minneapolis.
Okay. So you must have very thick blood to be able to endure the winters. I had to leave it. So.
Yeah, I'm not too far behind you there, but I do love it here. I mean, the summers are beautiful. My family is here. The winters are definitely hard. It is something I guess I'm more used to, but I don't like being used to it. And I always, you know, have an aspiration of one day moving to a sunnier climate.
So you began your culinary career in 2012 by launching Shell's Kitchen. Mm-hmm. What were you doing before that?
Before that, I have a really long career in doing administrative work. So I worked in nonprofits and kind of started off working at my local Y, moving up from different kind of administrative jobs there, and then ended up moving on to other nonprofits and ultimately kind of worked my way up in the kind of nonprofit corporate kind of setting and ended up being an executive assistant and then ultimately got promoted to being a business management analyst and was doing budgets and financial reporting. And I did get to do some event planning, which is actually what my career aspiration was before I became a chef. So,
wow. So how did you take the leap from working in the nonprofit world to starting your own restaurant and becoming a chef?
Well, it's all an evolution. And actually, I'm back in the nonprofit world with some of the work I do now. But I mean, I just kind of took the leap. You know, things changed in the company I was working for, a lot of people got pushed out of the company, including my boss, several senior level management, pretty much people at all levels, including myself at the end of the day. And so really, it was something that when that happened, I was really ready for it before it happened, just because of I had never come to a point where I actually hated my job. And I did at that point in time. And so it was kind of like, okay, I had some time. I had a little bit of money saved, and I kind of took the summer off and kind of did some reflection. And I ended up becoming a chef. Honestly, it was an evolving path, but it was a calling. It had a lot to do with like my personal life. You know, I became a mom in my early 20s, and that actually physically changed my relationship with food because my sense of taste actually got really developed during that time. That's when I say I got my superpower, which is actually my sense of smell, which is tied to your sense of taste. And so I ended up, by way of the event planning that I was doing and events that I had planned, I had done some cooking. Mind you, I had been cooking since I was a child. Me and my brother, latchkey kids, coming home from school, making concoctions, and also cooking with my parents, who all had different styles of cooking that influenced me. And so when all this came together and I became a parent and I had to, you know, start cooking for my family every day, and I had this kind of change, physiological change in my sense of smell, it all kind of culminated. And I ended up, you know, doing more events. And eventually I started doing dinner parties and kind of cooking more intently. And with that, people's reaction to my food was just continued to inspire me. And over, you know, a couple of years, I, you know, went from having some kind of small dinner parties to larger dinner parties, and using, not even intentionally, but just out of having something interesting to post, I would post on social media about the things I had cooked or had learned. And people started to kind of view me as this chef before I even really viewed myself as a chef. And so people started to ask me to cater their events. And eventually people were asking me to cater their weddings and their business corporate lunches and dinners. And from that, I ended up having to start Shell's Kitchen just because I wanted to answer the call and do it legitimately. And over time, I did that. I ended up entering into an entrepreneurship class through the organization through which I now teach the class for food businesses. But back then I took the class 10 years ago, and that was kind of my entry into entrepreneurship. I've always been an entrepreneur. I've had an entrepreneurial spirit, and, you know, I did candles. I sold these candles called Party Light, and I, you know, I've always kind of been entrepreneurial like that, but I actually started my own company, Shell's Kitchen. And then at that time, I also decided, because I hadn't come up in the food industry, that I would go to culinary school to get the technique and that credential. And so I ended up going to culinary school simultaneously while I had started Shell's Kitchen. And I also actually started teaching at the same time through, we have like a community ed classes that people in the community teach other people in the community. It's usually adult classes. And I started a cooking class series called Comfort Foods Around the World. And I was basically taking what I had learned in culinary school and was regurgitating it into my own cooking classes. And it was a way for me to immerse in global cuisine and learn. And also, I didn't even realize I was teaching myself how to become a teacher, which now I'm a full-fledged culinary instructor.
Wow.
So it's kind of like, That was my beginning.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I launched Shell's Kitchen, went to culinary school, and started teaching all during that same time back in like between 2010 and 2012.
So it sounds like you always had this sort of entrepreneurial spirit bubbling at the surface, just ready to come out at the right time. And what I love about what you just talked about with your story is that when I think about it, and of course, I have no experience in being a chef or anything, but it sounds like you almost did things backwards in my mind of you built this whole business and this whole concept, and you really taught yourself all of these skills. And then you decided to go to culinary school just to get the credential to go along with it.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. And that's definitely pretty backwards or the way that most people in the industry think about how you come up. You go to culinary school and then you go and you work up the ranks in the industry at different restaurants or at a restaurant with maybe a chef that you work under who's known, and you build up your reputation that way. I didn't do any of that. I really did take, I just kind of took the bull by the horns and kind of kicked the door in and said, I'm here, and kind of made a splash on the local scene without going through that. I think honestly, it was all of my administrative and business acumen that really was the driving force behind, I think, why I was able to maybe reach some of the pinnacles that I have been able to reach in such a short time. You know, I'm just going on 10 years almost, you know, in this industry, where there's people who have been in this industry that I respect, you know, and admire, that have been in this industry for over 10, 15, 20 plus years, 30 years, that maybe still look to having some of the opportunities that I've been blessed to have. And some of that is sheer will of my own, and the rest of it is just like what the universe had planned. And so, yeah.
So tell me about Shell's Kitchen.
Shell's Kitchen actually is pretty much dormant at this point. I've put Shell's Kitchen down when COVID hit, and I have not been catering since. But Shell's Kitchen is really the catering segment of my brand, right? So Shell's Kitchen is really the flagship of my brand. So it started, like I said, 10 years ago while I was going to culinary school, and I built up my clientele to where I was still kind of working part-time hours. Like, I wasn't working a full-time job. Some weeks I may work 3 days and 40 hours in those 3 days to get my event done, but it wasn't like consistent, you know, but it was consistent enough to keep me in business and keep my business growing. And so I did that. But what ended up happening with Shell's Kitchen is that in 2014, I actually met an organization called Appetite for Change. And they were recruiting to have a chef come and help them launch their restaurant, cafe, and catering business. Really, they just wanted to do a cafe. I just happened to already have a catering business. And that ended up, honestly, probably being more of the cash cow of that institution. But ultimately, in 2014, I ended up joining Appetite for Change, becoming the kitchen manager. They had a commercial rental kitchen that they were renting to other food businesses that they took over. So it was a pre-existing kitchen that they took over ownership of, and there was an empty space in there to build out a restaurant. And so I pretty much helped and was the founding chef of Breaking Bread Cafe. I finished culinary school at the end of 2014, and by January 2015, we were breaking ground, and by April, we were opening the doors, and I was an executive chef pretty much 6 months out of culinary school. And this was a scratch kitchen, but like scratch in every sense of the word. Like, we scratch built a whole restaurant. There wasn't a model built. There wasn't someone that had a blueprint for us. We literally built that. And so I was, you know, it was a whole organization that focused on food justice. And so I was in charge of the kitchen, the operations, the staff, the recipes, the menu, everything. And administratively, that's what I did. So the skill set to really put standard operating procedures in place and all of the administrative pieces, I really handled that because that was my skill set, in addition to being able to cook really well. And so over that time, I built that Breaking Bread Cafe and catering, right, for 3.5 years when I worked there. And then I left there in 2018, and that's when I relaunched Shell's Kitchen Catering. And at that point, even though I had stopped Shell's Kitchen and then restarted it, I still had a client base based off of the reputation I had built for myself as LaShell Cunningham, even though I was at Breaking Bread Cafe. And then by that fall, I had actually also taken on becoming an actual official culinary instructor. So I joined St. Paul College as a culinary instructor. So I kind of did this kind of part-time culinary instruction and running Shell's Kitchen. But also simultaneously, another opportunity came about. People started asking me to do consulting with them And so I became a restaurant consultant, and I've worked with a handful of clients, helping them write their standard operating procedures and set up their restaurants. And kind of depends on the needs of each restaurant that I've done. So I became a consultant, I became a culinary instructor, and I relaunched Shell's Kitchen. And at that time is really when I started nurturing the idea of the Healthy Roots Institute, which is what I am now focused on.
You are an entrepreneur, you're a chef, you're a teacher, you're all of these things. And from what I'm hearing, there seems to be this common thread sort of woven throughout your journey. And it feels like that's around this social enterprise, food justice space. And there's, in whatever you're doing, you're always including some sort of give back, social justice sort of piece. Can you just talk to me a little bit about that and why you think that's important?
Absolutely. Really, for me, it's really about healing. So that's really the focal point of the Healthy Roots Institute and like that journey. This kind of journey I've been on in my evolution as a chef has really brought me to this point. And I'm really still in my journey and in the process of evolution, right? And I have a lot, I feel like I still have a lot more growth to do, but ultimately, all of these different things that I've explained to you that I do, being a chef, being a teacher, being an entrepreneur, to me, that work is all healing work. And for me, it's personally healing and it's a journey I'm on, but it's also my social justice work to, in my way, heal the world. And that's where the Healthy Roots Institute really comes in, because that's what I focus on, is healing. And I focus on that through what I call three pillars: the love of food, the art of food, and the business of food. And the healing part is within the work of those three pillars. So the love of food is really the part about me being a chef and loving food and how I've, what I would describe as, fell in love with food and like this journey that I've gone on with food. But it's bigger than just kind of being in love with food and loving food and being a foodie or, you know, being a chef. It's really about like the nurturing that happens with food and that relationship. And it does dig into nutritional healing. It deals with plant medicine. It deals with connecting to the earth and gardening and plants and like the healing relationship between a person or people in a community and food. And so there is a reciprocal relationship. It's not just me loving food. It's food nourishing me and therefore loving me, and me nourishing myself and therefore loving myself and nourishing others and loving them. And then kind of how does that grow into a community level, right? How do we spread that love of food? You know, there's a couple of different aspects that I teach when I teach under the love of food. Some of my classes, I get, depending on the topic, I get into quite a bit talking about social justice. And ultimately, you know, from where my perspective is, being a Black woman, and my history with food and the cultural history with food. And I talk about soul food and ultimately like our food system as a whole. And it kind of grows into this kind of bigger story of how all of these things, from the history to our current food system and how it's all built, to the socioeconomic position that people are in and our relationships with food, are a result or consequence of that. And so, you know, there's like this big relationship and it's all like a healing journey to really explore it. Then the art of food is really culinary arts, right? This is literally like professional development for a culinary chef, is really where the art of food focuses on. The healing of it is in the art, right? Being able to express yourself, having the plate be your canvas, creating a piece of art. But then it's not just like a piece of art that's on your wall. You can take a picture of it and put it on your wall if you want to, but someone actually consumes it. They actually take it with them. It nourishes their body. They take it in as an experience. It creates a nostalgia. It creates something that they can connect to. There's all these connections between people that happen. So there's a healing in the art of it.
You know, I want to talk about this for a second here. So you talked about how Shell's Kitchen is on hold right now. Mm-hmm. The catering piece is on hold, and mm-hmm. you've instead used this time to dig into Healthy Roots Institute. Mm-hmm. So you've talked about the concept of Healthy Roots Institute and what it is and why you believe in it. Can you share a little bit about what that looks like in execution?
Yeah. So those three pillars that I talk about in the business of food was the last one. I could talk about that in a second, but the execution is workshops and retreats. So at one point I was going out and booking workshops and retreats that people could sign up for, or people were booking me to come in and do workshops and retreats in a corporate setting or in a group setting. You know, I've done some retreats where I've traveled and done like some women's retreats where I've cooked for the retreat and done some cooking classes. So it's really like an educational kind of cooking class setting for like more of a home cook. So it's not for like a professional chef per se. I mean, it could be, but it's really for anyone. And it's really focusing on the different aspects that I talked about. And so that could be anywhere from a one-on-one to a group setting. It could be anywhere from I'm coming in to somewhere and I'm cooking with like a team building group in a corporate setting, or a family in a group setting, or, you know, a group of friends, whatever it is. So that's really the love of food piece. It's really workshops, retreats, cooking classes. The art of food piece is really what I'm developing. Initially, what it really was is more of like apprenticeship. I've worked with several chefs over time and they've worked with me in my business. Usually they're a chef that is also entrepreneurial and wants to build a food business. And so I've been able to like kind of coach certain people up. So it's kind of more of a coaching situation. But now, right now, what I'm developing is to launch an online culinary school through the Art of Food. And I have a platform that I'm looking at doing that through. And actually, in addition to all the work that I do that I'm talking about with the Healthy Roots Institute, I actually do work for a nonprofit organization called The Good Acre. We're just finishing up orientation of launching a culinary vocational training program. And so I've been able to pilot and model some pieces in that program that are going to ultimately build out and help with building out this Art of Food piece with the Healthy Roots Institute. But right now, it's kind of sitting there. And the next phase is I'm literally rebuilding my website with all new branding. And so once the new website launches, the Art of Food piece will have a culinary arts school, an online culinary school. And then the other piece that I'm building out is the hands-on learning piece, being through internships and externships with local restaurants.
So am I missing something here? Like, do you have 30 hours in a day? You're doing so many things. It's, you know, you talked about with, you know, in your journey of starting all of this work originally in 2010, 2012, and I was already sitting there like, okay, you're doing 17 different things a day. And now listening to what you're doing, it seems like you just, you're not stopping.
It's a lot.
How are you managing all of that?
I just prioritize, and some of it is literally eating an elephant. It's like, okay, I got to take a bite out of this today. And I mean, it's a journey. I've been working on this for 2 years and I'm still just rebuilding the website with the branding. This is a long journey. The last piece I do want to just mention is the business of food piece, because there's a social justice element in that as well, and a healing element in that in the work of helping other entrepreneurs through consulting, but ultimately through the class I teach, which is helping them to build their business plans and launch, like start up their businesses. That to me is the healing, in the sense of that economic empowerment that one gets through entrepreneurship and really being like a pivotal point for people. There's a healing in that. And so literally someone could come in as a home, aspiring home cook, go through the love of food, go through the art of food, and learn the actual professional part, right? And then if you want to go to that next level and be a food business entrepreneur, that training would be is offered. And so that's really what I'm building. And it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of networking, a lot of building relationships with people, a lot of like having a big vision, like the Healthy Roots Institute and the vision that I have is really big. And so for me to be able to do that, it does take a lot. I need an assistant. I can't get back to people's emails as fast enough. And But I mean, I'm doing what I love, and it's kind of a long haul. It's not all going to happen today. It's kind of like putting together a 5,000 piece puzzle.
It sounds like with your recipes, like you stay true to sort of your heritage and your roots. And over the years, you've learned how to adapt these and make new creations, but still by honoring sort of that heritage.
Absolutely. Lately, what I've been doing, so this past summer has been all about foraging and gardening and creating things from my own backyard. So I pretty much exhausted the dandelion this past year. We made pesto, I made dandelion wine, I made dandelion pasta, I made tinctures and teas and all dried, dehydrated dandelion. And I did that with probably 10 to 20 other herbs this summer that I've just been kind of playing around with. And that also goes to honoring the past and really thinking about like those indigenous and African ancestral like healing practices of using plants and the earth as medicine, and ultimately food being our medicine. And so that's really like where I'm at right now in my evolution is, you see how I've kind of evolved through these ingredients and these styles of cuisine. And now I'm really like evolving into my own space of what healing, nutritional healing, like means to people, like what plants and food can do to heal our bodies ultimately. But like, now I'm incorporating my style of cooking and really discovering and rediscovering and refining what my style of cooking is with this lens of healing. Now, that's really the part where I'm most immersed in.
So you're wearing about a million different hats. You're doing so many different things. Mm-hmm. Do you have a role model, or is there someone you look up to throughout your journey?
Yes, I have lots of role models. First of all, I think like a lot of my role models, honestly, are like the people I teach, like my students, believe it or not, like they inspire. I guess I look to them for inspiration and innovation. A lot of times I would say I look to that. But like if I was to look up to someone as a role model, I would obviously think of my parents, right? The people that raised me that I look to. I mean, not obviously for everyone, but for me. It's obvious. You know, I look to my mom for a certain amount of strength, and I look to my dad for a certain inspiration on like perseverance and really like achievement and like carpe diem, like the world being my oyster and really going after my goals and being very determined and like tenacious. I get that a lot of that from my dad. But then if I was to look like outside of like my parents, I think of Harriet Tubman. I talk about this all the time, or I have in past scenarios. Harriet Tubman is really like a muse for me when I relate to her on a lot of levels, like what she went through as a child in different scenarios. And then like her journey working to really like free her people. I really take that as a personal mantra. So when I look at healing, to me, that's like freedom in a certain sense. So when I talk about nutritional healing, when I talk about the art of food, when I talk about that business and that economic, like social justice piece, to me, that's my journey of liberation for myself and like my community. And so that I look to her, and honestly, like my peers, you know, the chefs that I have the honor and the pleasure to like bump elbows with here and there, probably less now because of COVID, but you know, that I look to locally on the food scene. You know, there's tons of people I don't even want to start naming people because I feel like I left somebody out, but I'm always looking to who in my network to be inspired by. So, yeah.
You know, you teach a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners and people who are wanting to start their own business. And so I'm just curious, what's the one piece of advice that you would want someone to know if they're thinking about starting their own business?
If they're thinking about starting their own business, the biggest piece of advice is really know, like, this is not for the faint of heart. Okay. This is, you know, late nights, early mornings, sleepless nights. You have to have a passion that reaches way down beyond reaching down deep down in. There has to be that perseverance, that tenacity. It can be physically and mentally draining. And then, you know, this is your art, right? You're an artist, but it's also like you're constantly being critiqued by someone, everybody, whoever your customer is, all of your customers, like you've got to be ready for that. So I would just say like the mindset, are you ready? Like know whether you're really ready, and no one can really tell you if you're ready or not. Only you can. And so it's really like, what are the preparations that you need to have in place if this is really where you want to go? So I would say that. I know you said one thing. The other thing is like, don't let anybody put any parameters or prescription on what your story or your path is. Don't let anyone else chart your own course. Because if I would have allowed that, either I would have never become a chef, or I would maybe be working somewhere in a situation that I wasn't happy with because I let somebody else tell me, oh, well, you're only going to make $10 an hour if you become a chef. And so I had to say, oh, well, maybe you're only going to make $10 an hour if you become a chef, but I'm going to chart my course and I'm going to determine what my value is. And so really it's like, know what your value is, determine that, and like, don't let anyone else have a say in what that is. I am LaShell Cunningham, founder of Shell's Kitchen and the Healthy Roots Institute, and I made my business in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
LaShell's story really highlights how important it is to be adaptable as a small business owner. She hasn't let the bumps in the road deter her dream, and she's instead learned how to adapt her business to meet the needs of the local community. Before we officially wrap up season one of Made Here, I wanted to thank all of the guests who shared their powerful stories on the show. But our work is far from done, and we're excited for you to hear brand new episodes in the next season of Made Here, coming very soon. While we're on a break, please stay tuned for updates. You can follow me, Stacy Klein, on LinkedIn, as well as GoDaddy and Human Group Media on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Links will be in our show notes. Thank you all for your support, and I will catch you all again very soon. Made Here is powered by GoDaddy and made with the help of our producers at Human Group Media.